Think Red Ink presents The Questions of Jesus. Profound meditations with author and host Don C. Harris. What did Jesus ask?
Question 69. Now, how's your vision? Mark 8:22-25, "And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up, and said, I see men as trees walking. After that he put his hands again upon his eyes, and made him look up. And he was restored, and saw every man clearly." Here we're not given the words of Jesus. Within the scripture is a question of Jesus, but we cannot hear his words. We are told what he asked, but not the exact words that he used. I take some license in my assertion that he used these words. He may have used other words, but the message is clear that he was testing the man's visual acuity and the degree of healing. This miracle would stand as an example of an incomplete healing, if it was not understood. Jesus, knowing this event could be told and used as an example for centuries, took this opportunity to show the value of a second touch. We must understand that we, as frail, incomplete humans, cannot receive all that Christ has to offer in one brush of his presence. It's folly to assume that when we have one initial encounter with him, that we will know all, understand all, and need no more of his grace. It's common today to hear a gospel stating that we receive all we need from Christ when we initially come to him for forgiveness. However, I feel that this first touch is all that most of us ever encounter. Most move from this first encounter directly to submersion into the church world, and from there receive teaching and guidance from men. From this first meeting onwards, the social and spiritual gaps are filled by association with religious people. The need for the second touch is rarely felt. We must, after we are enlightened, go on to perfection, as the apostle admonishes us in Hebrews 6:1. Our need for perfection reaches far beyond our immediate need of peace with God, forgiveness. We are creatures copious with habits and problems, detrimental to the well-being of ourselves and others. We're not ready to understand, nor are we ready to see men as they really are. We came to Christ blind and in need of our sight. He opened our eyes, and now we see for the first time. We have our sight, such as it is, but we need the second touch, the interpretation of what we now see. Many of us became discouraged with our Christian life as we found it did not have the power and grace we assumed it would. We wanted more than to see men as trees. We still struggle with our flesh and old nature. Though we have moved into a spiritual kingdom and been translated from the world to which we've become accustomed, there are many things to learn that we're not yet ready to learn. No wonder we become discouraged. No wonder we feel alone and out of place. If we assume that all Christ has to offer us has already been bestowed in all of its fullness, we would have good reason to be dissuaded and forlorn. The good news is that he's not done so. He asked, "Now that you've been given sight, what do you see? Are you discouraged with what you see and how you see? There is a second touch for you that will clear your eyes so that you will see all things vividly." Our perfection is of utmost importance to Christ. It is the reason we're here, and the reason we struggle with our day-to-day trials and persecutions. Jesus said that if we become discouraged due to these things, we would bear no fruit. Our fruit is our perfection. These are they which, when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with the cares and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Luke 8:14. We are not on the earth for the purpose of trying to be saved, trying to be good, trying to be holy, or trying to become acceptable in Jehovah's sight. Because of our inability to do so, Jesus has done all that for us. Our goal is to perfect ourselves by surmounting trials and living in faith with full assurance of God's grace and care, never faltering, and by remaining true to our calling, we will prosper. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I fear that our concern with being perfected is of low priority. It's our own comfort that seems to hold the place of highest regard in our lives. Our prayers are laced with pleas for deliverance and health, gifts and blessings. We must place the attaining of our perfection high on our priority list. Our desire for perfection is to be higher than our comfort, higher than our success, higher than the preservation of our very lives. It's when we answer his question after our decision to follow Christ that we begin this process. It is after our eyes have been opened and he asks, "Now, how's your vision?" that we start down this road of being made perfect. What if the blind man, so happy to have any sight at all, said, "Oh, everything's fine, I'm so thankful to be able to see it all," and never mentions his inadequate eyesight? Similarly, we may be as he was, so happy to be forgiven and finally at peace with God that we dare not be candid with him and say, "Although I am happy to be forgiven, I still do not love my fellow man as I should." Or, "I still have trouble with forgiveness," or, "I still find it hard to withdraw from the world." You may insert your imperfection here. I can remember my struggle with pacifism. I met many who, through their faith in Christ, had become pacifist, and I wondered why I felt I had the right and duty to defend myself and my property, even at the cost of human life. I felt no qualm about killing an intruder or marauder and thought myself fully capable of doing so. I held it as my duty to defend and protect my family and could not fit "do violence to no man" into my Christian understanding. Nor could I understand fully, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' saith the Lord." I was in need of a second touch. I had to say, "I see men, but they are as trees." Now I must confess, they are as men to me. I see every man clearly. It's not an insult to Christ or his redeeming power to say, "I see men as trees," for in doing so, we show that we wish to see clearly. It's no insult to say, "I do not love my fellow man as I should," for it shows our desire to do so. We need a second touch. We need to be honest with our Savior and tell him our imperfections and let him touch us a second time. Jesus knows that a second touch is needed and is waiting for you to honestly confess that to him. Go to him. Perhaps you'll not like what Jesus tells you, but you must go to him. As the rich ruler who came to Jesus was told, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast, The qualifier still today is, if thou wilt be perfect. Again, you're faced with the responsibility for reaching for your own perfection and completion. Again and again, the scriptures show that it is your personal duty. What could be more glorious than to see all things clearly, to love truly, to care intuitively, and understand fully? When you contemplate the change that has occurred in you since the point of your visitation, you must be honest. The second touch requires it. The will of God demands it. When your head raises for the first time to view the world, don't be disappointed if things aren't as you expected. You don't know everything yet. There's another touch in your future. There may be many. You must look at your life in Christ, evaluate your shortcomings, and sincerely respond to his question when he asks, "Now, how's your vision?"
That's all for this time. You've been listening to Don C. Harris at Think Red Ink Ministries. Do you have questions or comments? We'd like to hear from you. Send an email to don@thinkredink.com. Join us again for the next episode of The Questions of Jesus.